KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have a clear to partly cloudy sky in Atlantic and 16 degrees. Looking forward to be partly to mostly sunny here today with a high of 42. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen of the Check of the Latest Iowa News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Train home comfort specialist dealer. A veteran of two previous Iowa caucus campaigns has developed a complicated formula to predict caucus turnout this evening. John Steinman predicts 120,000 Iowans will turn out tonight and participate in the caucuses.
Well, I'm looking at the past results of the Iowa caucuses over the last five cycles, going back to 1980, and it would appear that when you look at those factors that you're going to have a higher turnout in 2012.
Just over 118,000 Iowans participated in the 2008 Iowa caucuses, the highest turnout ever. Steinman identified three basic types of candidates in caucuses of the past: the brand name Republican, the idea or agenda candidate, and the more conservative outsider.
So when you add their totals together in the past by the type of candidate they are, you can start to see trends. With those trends, when they're applied to the latest Iowa poll, and then project what kind of year it will be in terms of turnout.
Steinman, who is a Des Moines-based political consultant, doesn't consider weather in his turnout prediction formula.
There's always much discussion about weather as it relates to the caucus, but history has shown that it's not much of a factor. Iowans generally get out when it's cold or not.
The average turnout for the Iowa Republican Party's caucuses since 1980 is 103,000. The lowest turnout of the modern era was in 2000, the year George W. Bush won, when the turnout didn't quite reach 86,000. Steinman was the manager of the Steve Forbes campaign in 2000 and worked for Phil Gramm's campaign in 1996. KJAN News Time is 8:02.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
Republican presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann faces low expectations in Iowa's caucuses, where a poor showing could effectively doom her campaign. Minnesota Congresswoman plans to make her final appeal for support today at a caucus site in Blackhawk County, where she spent the first years of her life. Her schedule ahead of the night's voting is packed with interviews on Iowa's airwaves and with conservative radio shows nationally. Every recent poll puts Bachmann in the last place heading into the caucuses, a far cry from her summer win in a state the GOP straw poll. But top campaign advisors vow that she will prove the recent surveys wrong by activating a support network built through her visits to small towns and churches in every corner of Iowa. Briefly, a GOP frontrunner, Newt Gingrich, is hoping for a respectable showing in today's caucuses after being pounded by millions of dollars in attack ads. The former House Speaker was set to make an 11th-hour push for support as his campaign bus rumbles through eastern Iowa. He's scheduled to hold events in Muscatine and Burlington before he personally makes his case to a caucus gathering in Cedar Falls. Gingrich rallied supporters in Davenport last night, urging them to help him pull off one of the greatest upsets in the history of the Iowa caucuses. Earlier in the day, he had all but conceded defeat, saying he didn't expect to win. After emerging as a top GOP contender in early December, Gingrich saw his support falter as he was hit with a wave of tough ads painting him as an ethically challenged Washington insider. The ex-Georgia congressman has tried to cast himself as the conservative heir to the former President Ronald Reagan, touting a supply-side economic plan of tax cuts and fewer regulations. But he struggled to stay on message, blasting some of his GOP opponents, even as he promised to wage a positive campaign. Ron Paul, meanwhile, is hopeful that the more structured organization of Iowa supporters he's built in his second bid for the Republican nomination will turn out big in the state's leadoff presidential caucuses. Paul told an audience in Davenport yesterday, "We the people are growing," and he's optimistic that he'll pull off a victory. Paul wound up his 2012 bid as contender to win in Iowa, where the polls show him narrowly trailing former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, and he appeared well-organized for next week's New Hampshire primary. While he was encouraged by the crowds that turned out for him on Monday, Paul noted in interviews that he was unsure whether he would be able to compete deep into the nominating campaign. A funny thing happened in the presidential campaign in Iowa. The last Republican president's name actually surfaced. A voter asked White House hopeful Ron Paul whether the American people could trust another Texan when it came to talking about war. George W. Bush has gone all but unmentioned in the GOP nomination contest. This year's Republican candidates routinely lionize Ronald Reagan and blame President Obama for the nation's economic woes. But no one has been eager to embrace the Bush legacy of gaping budget deficits, two wars, and record low approval ratings. They also haven't blamed Bush for the country's trouble. Bush's former press secretary, Ari Fleischer, said he's proud of Bush's record keeping the country safe, but adds that politics isn't about what's fair, it's about winning. Rick Perry arrived in Iowa late in August, like the rock star of the Republican presidential race, and he's trying to make his departure a more discreet affair. The Texas governor prepared a last-minute push to avoid an embarrassing showing in today's caucuses, meeting with his volunteers early in the day and then encouraging potential caucus goers at two town halls. But as his poll standing continued its slide and others outpaced his organization, Perry was already looking ahead to South Carolina's first in the South primary to reboot a campaign that began with such promise. A buoyant Perry tried to encourage supporters on Monday as his campaign bus rolled from the conservative northwest corner of the state back to his campaign base near Des Moines. Perry said in Perry, Iowa yesterday that when we win the big Iowa caucuses, that's the only one that matters. Public and private polling is correct, that was a long-shot prediction. The final Des Moines Register poll released Saturday showed Perry at 11%, with four rivals led by Mitt Romney well ahead of him. Mitt Romney is about to find out if his winning prediction will come true. Romney said he'll win the Iowa precinct caucuses tonight and give a boost to the campaign that he predicted will make him the Republican nominee for president. Romney rallied hundreds of supporters Monday night in Clive. He spent the day crossing eastern Iowa, stopping in cities where he performed well in 2008. The former Massachusetts governor will start today with another rally in Des Moines ahead of an evening gathering at the Hotel Fort Des Moines to wait for caucus results. And Republican presidential hopeful Rick Santorum is courting young voters as he seeks to surprise his rivals with a strong showing in the state's leadoff precinct caucuses. Santorum is set to join a couple of other candidates at a Rock the Vote event in suburban Des Moines today, one of a series of events looking to get high school students involved in the presidential campaign. The event is being sponsored in part by Iowa Secretary of State Matt Schultz, who has endorsed Santorum and has been traveling with him. Schultz called Santorum the most consistent conservative in the field, a point Santorum hammers on the campaign trail. Heading into tonight's caucuses, Santorum sounded increasingly confident and vowed to be in the race past the first votes of the 2012 presidential campaign. He said he feels very good about where he's at. They're going up, and he feels very good about New Hampshire as well, and they like this kind of politics too, according to Santorum. Elsewhere in the news, new energy regulations are now in effect, and Iowans may not notice until it's time to change their light bulbs. As of January 1st, most stores in Iowa nationwide are no longer selling the familiar 100-watt incandescent light bulb. Kathleen Hogan at the U.S. Department of Energy says three new types of bulbs will save power and money.
We do end up spending a fair amount of money through our energy bills on lighting in our homes, and the new standards will help us save at least 25% on that lighting because the new standards require bulbs to be 25% more efficient.
Three new longer-lasting types of lights are halogen, CFLs, and LEDs, and all come in a variety of shapes. Hogan says the new standards were adopted by Congress in 2007, and the Energy Department has put them into effect. It'll change us away from the typical incandescent bulb.
The energy that goes into that bulb, about 90% of it isn't really used for light. It comes off the bulb as heat. So that makes you start thinking, wow, is this really where we should be? Is this really the best version of the product?
The catch is the three new types of bulbs that are now being sold are more expensive to buy than the standard bulbs, but Hogan says they'll save you money in the long run.
If you use a 100-watt bulb for like 2 hours a day, every day for a year, you're actually spending about $8. a year. So if you use it even more than 2 hours a day, it's even more money. And then if you were to buy some of these bulbs that save 75% of the energy, you know, that's $6 you can save off of eight. So that's just tremendous opportunity for consumer savings.
There will be no changes to the way the light fixtures are made. The bulbs are all designed for current fixtures. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, President Obama is back in Washington today following a 10-day vacation in Hawaii. Tonight, he hosts a live web chat with Iowa Democrats while their Republican counterparts focus on the Iowa caucuses. The Los Angeles County Supervisor said our long four-day nightmare is over, but authorities are telling residents to remain vigilant despite the arrest of a suspect in more than 50 fires, most of them set in vehicles. A 24-year-old German national is being held without bond. And just hours before the Iowa caucuses, Republican presidential candidate Newt Gingrich is calling on frontrunner Mitt Romney to, quote, just level with the American people about what Gingrich says are Romney's moderate political views. Gingrich told CBS's The Early Show that he believes anyone can come in first tonight because so many potential caucus-goers are still undecided. News time is 8:11.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Marilyn Fawn, age 76 of Harlan, died Thursday. A massive Christian burial service for Marilyn Fawn will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Pauline Edwards, age 89 of Cumberland, died Friday. Graveside services for Pauline Edwards will be this afternoon at 2:30 at the Greenwood Cemetery near Cumberland. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Lucille Mulford, age 96, of Audubon, died Monday. Funeral services for Lucille Mulford will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Carol J. Hansen, age 61, of Carson, died Friday. Funeral services for Carol Hansen will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the St. Paul Lutheran Church in Trainer. Hertz Funeral Home of Carson has arrangements. Raymond Hansen, age 93, of Atlantic, died Sunday. Funeral services for Raymond Hansen will be on Thursday at 10 a.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Wilma Dunkerson, age 92, of Fontenelle, died Sunday. Funeral services for Wilma Dunkerson will be held Thursday at 10:30 at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Violet Frum, age 90, of Avoca and formerly of the Omaha and Shelby areas, died Monday. Funeral services for Violet Frum will be on Thursday at 10:30 at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Shelby. Amy Rosella Cobalt Leggett, age 90, of Winterset and formerly of Earlham, died Sunday. A graveside service for Amy Cobalt Leggett will be on Thursday at 10:30 at the Earlham Cemetery. The Coon Funeral Home, Earlham Chapel, has arrangement. Orlin Kendall Kane, age 73, of Griswold, died Saturday. Funeral services for Orlin Kane will be on Friday at 11 a.m. at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Wanda Berg, age 78, of Cumberland, died Monday. Funeral services for Wanda Berg are currently pending at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. Collie Verrath, age 78, of Greenfield, died Monday. Funeral services for Collie Verrath are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And Mindy Ann Duckworth-Grasty, age 44, of Greenfield, died Saturday. Funeral services for Mindy Ann Duckworth-Grasty are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Our news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.